We turn in our Bibles, first of all, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. Ezekiel, chapter 33. The last three words of verse 3. Warn the people. Turn the page. Verse 7. The last four words of verse 7. Warn them from me. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. Verse 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the markets and calling to their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. The responsibility of the gospel tonight, the Lord has laid heavily upon my shoulders a gospel of warning. A gospel of warning. And as I view, especially you young fellers here sitting in the front row, I'm reminded of a very solemn thing that happened not too long ago in Vancouver. I got called to the emergency ward of the Royal Columbian Hospital, ICU ward. And I went with my uncle, and we were to find out what was wrong with this young man. We went into the ward after much rigmarole of getting into the ICU ward. And we saw him. This young man was wired. He had oxygen mask. He had every thinkable instrument on him. He was half propped up in bed. His eyes rolled. He was heavily sedated, morphine. He could barely talk. He was under oxygen. He talked to us through an oxygen mask. And there he sat. This young man was brought up in a Christian home, under the sound of the gospel, heard the gospel many times, godly Christian parents. 12 hours later, that young man was in eternity. He was the most awful sight that I had ever seen, and I hope I never want to see another sight like him. I don't know where that young man went, to heaven or hell. But you know, dear ones, tonight you have the opportunity here tonight to accept Christ as your Savior. What an opportunity do you have tonight if you're still in your sins? So I want to give this warning from the Word of God. Solemn thing to step out of this world and into a lost eternity. Solemn. Let's sing that well-known gospel hymn. It's 102, but I guess it's number 25 in our gospel hymn sheets. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf being time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, being time. The fourth verse, sinner, heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your happy choice, then all heaven will rejoice, be in time. Number 25. Life at best
is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed. In time, while the voice
pray.
Turn to Jeremiah 52. Jeremiah 52. I want to say that one of the most favorite books that I love to preach the gospel from is the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a tremendous inspiration to me. I think of Jeremiah as the weeping prophet and how he kept on preaching and kept on preaching and kept on preaching the same thing over and over again. What an inspiration it is. And so may we never tire of this wonderful message that we can proclaim. And let's go to the very end of Jeremiah, the very last chapter, and here we find the very first verse. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, till he cast them out of his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem, and pitched against it, and built forts against it round about. So the city was besieged unto the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, in the ninth month, day of the month, the famine was sore in the city, so that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled, and went forth out of the city by night, by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden. Now the Chaldeans were by the city round about, and they went by the way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued after the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. And they took the king and carried him up unto the king of Babylon to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also the princes of Judah in Riblah. And he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in chains and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison till the day of his death. Now turn over to the next chapter. Lamentations of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, weeping for the condition, for the state of Israel and Judah. Look at the very first word that we have here in Lamentations of Jeremiah. And we have this word, how. How? How did the city sit solitary that was once full of people? How has she become a widow? Well, dear ones, we have just read the story of Zedekiah, of how Nebuchadnezzar's army came and besieged the city of Jerusalem. For 1.5 years, Nebuchadnezzar's army was up against the city of Jerusalem. And it finally broke up. And we find of how Zedekiah tried to escape, but he was caught by Nebuchadnezzar's army and carried away captive into Babylon. And his eyes were plucked out. His eyes were plucked out. That was a judgment that was upon Zedekiah. Had Zedekiah heard what Jeremiah had told him? Yes, he had. He had. And dear one, tonight, you have heard the gospel. Yes, you have. Each one of here in this room have heard the gospel, just as that young man that I just told you about had heard the gospel over and over again. Brought up in a Christian home of gathered saints. And that young man died, and I know not where, And he died of the worst disease that this world has ever known because of his lifestyle. And so the word, the gospel gives warning tonight. Zedekiah had a warning. And so we find, and I'd like to think of it this way tonight. If the curtains could be drawn tonight, ahead in time. You know, we do have it in the 16th chapter of Luke of how the rich man and Lazarus, and it says in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torment. The curtain was drawn aside to look in to that awful scene that God does not want to send one person there. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his evil way. And then he says, turn ye, for why will ye die? It's the heart of God pleading for this world tonight. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's heart of love lingering over this world, and how wonderful it is that he's lengthened out the day of grace. And to this very day, here we are, what is it, July 8th, 1996, the gospel has been going forth Lord's Day after Lord's Day, day after day. Men have been presented with the gospel, God beseeching, man refusing. But one day, just as we heard last night, the door will be shut forever. And many there will be that say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he'll have to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. I never knew you. Oh, but if you're in Christ tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your own personal Savior, if your sins are all washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, you're safe for all eternity. You can calmly face the future when the blood is on the door. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so we find here this awful scene, Jerusalem completely ravaged. The population of Jerusalem was completely decimated. And you know, that's just exactly what is going to happen to this world after the church is taken home. This world will be decimated. How does the city sit solitary that was once full of people? Because they didn't listen to what God had to say to them. And here was Jeremiah, the preaching Jeremiah, who preached this message over and over and over again. And you know, you go to the very first chapter, and I challenge you young boys here to take up the book of Jeremiah and read what he did and read what God told him to do. You know, when in the first chapter, he says, I'm but a child, I can't do this. But you know, God gave Jeremiah the strength, and he told the children of Israel, he said, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And judgment is coming. Because we read that verse, it says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And so we find here in the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, we'll find there that Jeremiah was told to take a roll of a book and just write the words that I told you. Write the words. And it was passed from one to another, and it finally came to the king. And can't you see the king there? There he is, sitting there in his winter house, and he's enjoying, I'd say, the pleasures of sin for a season. And many there are that are like that enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, very comfortable in this world. And you know, that's what the God of this world wants to do. He wants you to make comfortable in this world and forget all about God. You know, it says in Psalm chapter 10, it says, God is not in all their thoughts. No, you know, that's what the God of this world wants you to do. He doesn't want you to think about your soul's salvation. He doesn't want you to think about the Lord Jesus, just the pleasures of this world. And He can present so many pleasures in this world and put them before you. But oh, dear one, there's one that is pleading for your soul tonight. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, think of it. Isn't it wonderful that God sent His beloved Son here into this world? And He went to the cross of Calvary and there to die for you and I, for poor, lost, perishing sinners like you and I. Think of it, of how that blessed one, God's beloved Son, hung there on Calvary's cross. Could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What love that held Him there in that cross for you! For you! For you! Why? Because He wants your company and mine with Him in the glory. That's what He wants. He wants you in the glory with Him. Do you want to go? Do you want to go to that wonderful place that He's prepared for you? He says, in My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so we find that what did they do there? When they received the roll of the book, and there He is sitting there in the winter house there, sitting in His chair, and the fire, oh, nice, comfortable scene. Nice, comfortable scene. Ah, yes, isn't that the way Satan is? Just make yourself comfortable in this world. Forget all about God. And that's what he did. And you know what they did? They took a knife and they just put that roll in the fire and burnt it up. That's it. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And it says they weren't even afraid. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They weren't even afraid. What a solemn thing. And now, you know, I know that each one here tonight would never take this precious book and put it in the fire. No, you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. But do you ever take it up and read it? Do you ever take this book up and read it? And read about its wonderful author, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He has wonderful things to say to a boy or a girl here tonight. Just take it up and read it. Any page. He's got some wonderful things to tell a boy or a girl, man or woman too. Oh, wonderful words of life in this wonderful book that we have here. What a legacy. Here, the precious Word of God that lives and abides forever. You know, did that hinder Jeremiah? God says, never mind, Jeremiah. Just write it again. Just write it again. And you know, we have a song that we sometimes sing. Tell it again. Tell it again. Salvation story repeat o'er and o'er till none can say of the children of men. Nobody ever has told me before. And so, tell it again. And warn the people again of coming judgment. And you know, that's what he did. He told it again. Told it again. And so we can tell it again and warn the people again tonight. All we get in the next chapter, I think it's chapter 38. And you know, Jeremiah is put in a pit. They're trying to get rid of Jeremiah. They were trying to stop him from preaching. Jeremiah, be quiet. We don't want you to hear all those things. And so they put Jeremiah down in a pit. And it said, Jeremiah sank in the mire. Jeremiah sank in the mire. And oh, dear one, oh, let's turn to it. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are coming to my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Psalm 45, I believe it is. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, and you think of Jeremiah sinking in that pit. And it says, and Jeremiah sank in that pit, in that mire. But what is this here in Psalm 69? It's the sufferings of our blessed Lord on Calvary's cross. It says, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Save me, O God, where the waters are coming to my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where there are floods over to flow me. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Oh, this is the sufferings of our blessed Lord Jesus at Calvary's cross. In those three long dark hours on Calvary's cross, when he was made sin for us and he bore our sins in his own body in the tree. Think of what he suffered there for you and me, bearing my sins in his own body on a tree. Thinking of me at Calvary's cross. To bore my sins so that he might have my company with him in that coming scene of glory. He had me in view, and he has you in view, dear one, tonight. If you'll have him as your own personal Savior. Jeremiah sank in mire, but here we find again that there is a black man. A wonderful place that the black man has in the Word of God. The Ethiopian eunuch and this Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, he was a eunuch too. And you know what he did? He was thinking about Jeremiah. Say, have you thought about the Lord Jesus? Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, this black man, he was thinking about that man that was put down in a pit. And he wanted to be identified with that man that was put down in a pit. Have you identified yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ? That man that was sunk in deep mire, God's beloved Son, have you identified yourself with him, the holy, spotless Lamb of God? And so what did Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, do? He got all cast clouts and rotten rags. And he said, Jeremiah, down there in that pit. He looked down there in that pit at Jeremiah. And he said, Jeremiah, you put these under your armpits. And it says they drew Jeremiah up out of that pit. And you know what it says in the next chapter? It says, I better read it. It'd be 39. What a wonderful thing this is. What God said to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. I think this is sweet. This is beautiful. Could God say this of you? Verse 16 of chapter 39. Go, speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before thee. But I will deliver thee in that day, saith the Lord. What day was that? That coming day when judgment was to fall upon the nation of Israel that we read of in chapter 52, that Zedekiah never escaped. But who escaped? Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian. And it says here, "For I will surely deliver thee, and thou shalt not fall by the sword, but thy life shall be a prey unto thee, because thou hast put thy trust in me, saith the Lord." Have you, dear young friend, here tonight, I'm speaking to you, dear young ones, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you know Him personally as your Lord and Savior, as Lord of your life? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I think that's so beautiful, because God doesn't ask you to do something complicated to get saved. No, He doesn't. Because everything has been done for you at Calvary's cross. It is finished, yes indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? Simply, it says to a young boy so many years ago, the song was this. It was number 10 in our Echoes of Grace hymn book. It only says, a simple thing, believe and live. Believe and live. And I know, as a young man, you know, I was on into manhood before I accepted Christ as my Savior. And those were wasted years in my life. Wasted years. And I'll repeat that again. Wasted years in my life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God is offering man salvation full and free tonight to whosoever will, but the one condition. Now. You may not have a better opportunity than tonight. Tonight. He says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And He wants you to come tonight, right now. And so, years ago, there was a little boy that sat in a gospel meeting in a seat, and sat in many gospel meetings, just like you. Many, many gospel meetings. And went out the door each time unsaved. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. Those were wasted years. Wasted years. Oh, I warn you, dear young boys and girls, God's time is now. You know, my brother, when we were young, brought up in a Christian home, a godly parents, I thank God many, many times for my father, for my mother. I thank God many times. My father was a very godly man. Most of you didn't know. But he's home with the Lord now. And I thank God for him. You ever thank God for your parents? For the Word of God that you have open before us, that every morning that your dad opens before you. But you know, you're responsible for what you know. You're responsible for what you hear. And God, if you go out of this room unsaved tonight, God will hold you responsible for it. Perhaps He will say that you were in that gospel meeting on July 8, 1996, and you went out of the door unsaved. You heard the gospel. He'll hold you responsible. Solemn, isn't it? Zedekiah was held responsible. His eyes were plucked out. What an awful judgment was pronounced on Jeremiah. And it says, what shall the end be of those that obey not the gospel of Christ. What shall the end be? In the lake of fire for all eternity. Does God want to send you there? No, He doesn't. No, He doesn't want to send one boy or girl here tonight. But you know, He's got no other choice if you don't accept Him as your Savior. If you say no to the Lord Jesus, tonight, come. You know, Zedekiah had a chance. Zedekiah had many chances. I believe it's in chapter 37. I guess I got my chapters a little bit mixed up, but that's all right. But I think it was in chapter 37, Zedekiah comes to Jeremiah and he says, Jeremiah, come here. Come here. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you privately. And he says, is there a message from God for me? Is there a message? Is there a message? And he thought that maybe Jeremiah might change his tune. He might change the message and he might say, oh no, it's, you're all right. You're all right. There's no judgment coming. It's not going to come anymore. You think that's what Jeremiah said? No, he said. No, faithfully he said, yes, he says, judgment is coming. And you're going to be carried away captive into Babylon. And that's just exactly what happened in chapter 52. Zedekiah was carried away captive and his eyes were plucked out. And then the streets of Jerusalem were completely decimated of people. And what a solemn thing for this world. And what is going to happen to this world in this coming day? You know, it could start tomorrow. Perhaps the Lord would come tonight. The Lord would come tonight. Think of it. Wonderful. You waiting for that time for the Lord to come? You know, it's an inspiration to me. I go and visit my uncle all the time. He's in the rest home in Richmond. He's only about 3 blocks from me. And I go down there. He's 96 years old. A dear godly saint. I've been under the sound of His Word, and we've been richly blessed in Vancouver by His ministry down through the years. A dear godly saint. And you know, he just says, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. And you know, that's an inspiration to me. Oh, have we got the same desire? Do we just want to go home? I do. I do. It's all very well just to say it. Oh, I hope the Lord comes tonight. But do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? Are we like Uncle Norm and say, I just want to go home? You know, to be done with this world. To be done with this world and into the presence of our blessed Lord. Think of it. To spend an eternity with that blessed one. There to praise Him, to thank Him, to bow at His feet. Give Him the thanksgiving and praise of our hearts that's so weak and so feeble in this scene. But in a coming day, one loud eternal burst of praise to Him, the One who alone art worthy. Well, think of it. How wonderful. It's just before us. Do we really lay hold of it? Do we really grasp that? Just to be in His presence. This very night. Think of it. We might be there at home in the glory tonight. How wonderful. Do you want to be there? You know, you can't come with all your sins on you. You can't. I was telling them last week in the gospel, you know, we hundreds of children that we had the opportunity of presenting the gospel to in Newfoundland. Hundreds of children. They had the gospel. They heard them. Sometimes there would be, when we had a Sunday school or a hobby class, one child would come in and they'd never see them again. I had the opportunity of telling them just once. Just once. And many of those children, they're so sweet, so beautiful, those children. I used to say, I wish I could just take you all in my arms and take you home to heaven with me. But I can't. You've got to come as an individual. As an individual responsibility toward God. You have sinned against God. And those sins have separated you from a holy God. But oh, thanks be unto God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? The wonderful news of the gospel. Have you received it? Have you received it? Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? Is He Lord of your life? Do you know Him as your own personal Savior? Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12, a verse that we read so many times, speaking of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you, dear young boy, dear young girl here tonight? Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, tonight you're passing by. You're passing by. You're hearing the gospel. Even those people, you're passing by. Is this nothing to you? Indifference in your soul to a God that is just yearning to save you. Is it nothing to you? Let me tell you about this verse. You know, in downtown Vancouver, I'm reminded of this verse over and over again. You go down Hastings Street, and you walk down Hastings Street amongst the row of stores there, and you come to a park, and then you come to this great big pillar. At the bottom of the pillar, there are wreaths at the bottom of that pillar. There's two dates, 1914 to 1918, 1939 to 1945. It is a war memorial for those that gave their life in the First and Second War for the cause of freedom. And you know, this very verse is at the top. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? And so we pass by that war memorial, we're busy. We say, oh yeah, that's the war memorial for the war dead. And you keep right on going on your shopping spree or whatever you're doing. Indifference. And so he says, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? But this is not a war memorial. This is our blessed Savior. This is the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. He says here, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? He's speaking to you, dear young boy, dear young girl here tonight. He's speaking to you. Is this nothing to you that the Lord Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross for you? He says, behold and see, is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which was done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger? Oh, think of it, dear one tonight, what He suffered on Calvary's cross for my sins. All my sins, so great, so many, in His blood were washed away. Oh, think of it. Is it nothing to you as you view the cross tonight? The Lord Jesus there hanging on that cross. It was for you, dear one, that He hung there on that cross. For you. Think of it. What a Savior. He's my Savior. Is He yours? Is He yours? Is He your Savior? Dear one, tonight, He's pleading for your soul. Won't you come tonight? Tomorrow may be too late. It may be too late. He's pleading for you to come. There's no age limit to come to Christ. A little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. Have you ever confessed the Lord Jesus with your little lips? Won't you come tonight? He's pleading for you. I want to give you one last verse before we close. This verse I quote at every gospel meeting I preach at. I want to do it again tonight. John 7:37. John 7:37. And I believe that in this chapter we have possibly a picture of this world today. Here they were, the Feast of Tabernacles in this chapter. They were celebrating. They were having a celebration here, but not according to the Word of God, I believe. Everything that man was given to do, he failed in. And here's this feast. And we're getting down to the very last day of the feast. The very last day. And think of it. Here it is. This is the last meeting and the last day. And probably, and it could be, the last gospel meeting. Think of it. Solemn, isn't it? This could be the last gospel. You ever heard of that before? Probably you've heard it at every gospel meeting you've been in. But can you be sure? Can you be sure this wouldn't be the last gospel meeting? It says the last day, that great day of the feast. And here's man tonight, feasting, having a great party, having a great time, leaving God completely out of his life. As we came down here on the freeway on number 81, I was mentioning to Bruce, I said, look at all the RVs going down here and the cars trailing behind him and all the luxury and everything else going down the highway, big $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 mobile homes. Where are they going? They're going to their vacation spot. What about God? Have they left God out of their lives? That great day of the feast. Ah, and what do we got here? Jesus. He is the answer to this world tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ. No other answer. Christ is the only answer for this world tonight. Jesus stood and cried. Think of that. Think of the compassions of his heart as he stood there that day. Jesus stood and cried. And today his heart is still the same. Still beseeching man to come to him. He says here, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst. Oh, you know, that's this world. This thirsty world in which we're living. You know, it says, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with fatness. You know, there's only one person that can satisfy you. You know, that is what finally ended me before I came to Christ as a young man. The world, there was nothing to satisfy me in it. I was fed up with it. Fed up with it. All the pleasures of sin for a season. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Think of that. What a Savior. Standing there that day, let him come to me and drink. Oh, you don't have to come to meetings. You don't have to do all kinds of other things. It's coming to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Matthew 11, I love this verse, and 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And boy, as a young man was I heavy laden. And I will give you rest. What a Savior. And he gives rest. What, you know, I say this often. You haven't lived until you've found Christ as your Savior. He satisfies the longing soul. What a Savior. He'll look after you and care for you and bless you every day of your life. What a Savior, brought into a family. The fellows that I used to come around with as a young man, I lost them. They didn't want me anymore. But I got a whole new family. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what you'll get. A whole new family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to know Christ as your own Savior. And know that the great question of your soul's salvation is settled once and for all. Should the Lord come tonight to go up to be with Him in the glory. If we were to go into the article of death, I'd see Him. Oh, dear one, safe, safe. Are you safe tonight? If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and drink, and drink. How wonderful that is. Do you know this wonderful person? Do you know this wonderful person that we presented to you tonight, even though it's been feeble? Do you know him personally as Lord and Savior? If you don't, will you come tonight? Tomorrow may be too late. Those first verses that we read warn the people. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Dear one, tonight, if you go out of this room unsaved and into a lost eternity, you have nobody to blame but yourself. Behold, now is expected now for the day of salvation. Can we sing that song? Behold the Savior at the door. He gently knocks, has knocked before, has waited long, has waiting still. You use no other friend so ill. Open the door, he'll enter in and sup with you, and you with him. Number 20. Behold the Savior at the door. Thank you.